I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 5. Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshippers were outside praying. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord, to their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. As we come to God's word, let's go to him in prayer first, shall we? Father, again, during Advent season, we review stories we've heard some of us over and over and over. Lord, again, my prayer is that each one of us can see something new. Lord, that your Spirit can apply these verses to ourselves, as well as to the ancients back 2,000 years ago. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Last week, we began preparing for the birth of our Savior. We considered the prophets. Today, as Cliff and Meredith read, we're going to consider angels. In particular, angelic encounters. Angels appear in about half of the books of the Bible and over 300 different references. They really have three kind of primary responsibilities. First, angels are messengers of God. Angels are messengers of God. In Hebrew and in Greek, the word angel means messenger or message bearer. Their job is to do what God sends them to do and say. Sometimes they bring good news, like announcing the birth of Christ to the shepherds or the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah. Sometimes, though, they bring bad news. In Genesis 19, it was angels that appeared to Lot and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah and told them to leave before those towns were destroyed. The book of Revelation is full of avenging angels, and what they say and do is definitely bad news. Angels are messengers of God. Angels also praise God. Job 38, verse 7 says that at creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. After the angel announced the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to the shepherds, Luke 2 says that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Turn to another record of angels praising God, this time in the future, near Jesus' second advent. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11. really verse 11 and 12. Revelation chapter 5, begin verse 11. John writes, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and a loud voice is saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" Angels are messengers of God. Angels praise God. And third, angels minister to people. Angels minister to people. Hebrews 1:14 puts it best. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Most of the time, angels aren't seen. They kind of work behind the scenes. But sometimes they appear for a short time to accomplish a particular purpose. Sometimes they even look like human beings. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." It's impossible to read the Christmas story without talking about angels. It begins and ends with angels. The birth of Jesus Christ was so incredible, so earth-shaking, that only the angels could be entrusted by God to be the appropriate messengers. No human being could possibly be persuasive enough to get this amazing message out. There's no other event in the Bible that has as many messages from so many angelic messengers. Human responses to angels and their messages seem to vary, but there kind of is a pattern in the actions of angels. Angels appear suddenly to ordinary people, often doing ordinary things. Zechariah was serving the temple. Joseph was sleeping. Mary was going about her daily activities. The shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks at night. When the angels came bearing an announcement, they break into the world unexpectedly with messages of great importance. They appear suddenly. The angels cause people to be afraid. When an angel appears in Scripture, a sense of fear and wonder is immediate. Zechariah was startled and was gripped with fear. Knowing that they had that kind of effect on human beings, often the very first words out of their mouths is, "Do not be afraid." Angels are never to be worshipped or adored. And that's the third one. Angels are never to be worshipped or adored. They aren't to be the center of attraction. Back in Revelation chapter 22, the Apostle John was so overwhelmed by all that he had seen and heard that he wrote, "I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" Angels appear suddenly. Angels cause people to be afraid. Angels are never to be worshipped. And finally, angels don't stay long. Angels don't stay long. They deliver their message or do their appointed task, and then they're gone. The focus isn't to be on them. That belongs to God. They want us to worship only God along with them. This morning, we're going to look at four angelic encounters related to the birth of Jesus Christ and the human responses to them. In the scripture we read just a little bit ago, we saw the first encounter, the announcement by the angel Gabriel, which means the mighty one of God. The announcement of Gabriel to Zechariah, telling him that he and his wife were going to have a son, and they were to name him John. Luke wrote that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both well along in years. That is, they were both old. At that time, Zechariah was a priest. It was his turn to serve in the temple and to burn incense in front of the curtain leading to the Holy of Holies. It was there that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And verse 12 says that Zechariah was startled and was gripped with fear. As expected, the angel reassured him and then went on to say, "Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. The angel then proceeded to describe what kind of person John would be, repeating what Malachi had prophesied back in Malachi chapter 4. Zechariah was told that John's calling was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Even though Zechariah had been praying for a child, even though he was obviously a very religious man, he refused to believe, and instead he doubted the angel's message. Verse 18, he said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Because of his doubts and lack of belief, Gabriel said that Zechariah would be silent and not able to speak. Zechariah would not speak again until after the baby was born. 8 days after John's birth, Luke chapter 1 says, John asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosened. He began to speak, praising God. After this miracle, the first thing Zechariah did was to praise God. But in the beginning, Zechariah's response to his angelic encounter was that he refused to believe, and he doubted the angel's message. The next angelic encounter is also found in Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 1 again, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, begin verse 26. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her the familiar words, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with son and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Again, after Gabriel beat her with the familiar words, "Don't be afraid," he went on. Mary was told that she would become pregnant, would give birth to a son, to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior. Then Gabriel told her a little about the baby that she'd give birth to. "He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Zechariah, he refused to believe and doubted when he heard the angel. Mary is simply unsure about how this would happen. She said, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" Gabriel gave you a few more details, but it was still quite difficult to comprehend. But in spite of her lack of understanding, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary actually called herself the bondservant of the Lord. Mary was unsure how it was all going to work out, but she surrendered herself completely to her Lord anyway. Zechariah refused to believe and doubted. Mary was unsure, but surrendered. The third angelic encounter is found back in the book of Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, begin verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew, the tax collector, writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Think about it. Joseph had a dilemma after he found out that Mary was pregnant. He knew he wasn't the father, but his reputation was on the line. Mary's life was on the line too. What was he going to do? Because he was a righteous man and a caring man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. It was in the midst of this quandary that Joseph had a visit. God sent an angel, a messenger, to Joseph in a dream. And in the verses we read, this unnamed angel addressed Joseph's concerns. Through his messenger, through his angel, God told Joseph to raise a child that was not his. And then Joseph was given a glimpse of the glory of this child as the angel told him that this boy would be the Savior who will fulfill the prophecies from Isaiah chapter 7, where we read, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Joseph immediately accepted his assignment, and he acted on it. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph's response, he accepted and acted on the angel's message. In the following months, Joseph had at least two more encounters with angels. And just like the first time, he accepted those messages and acted on them. Following the visit of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, we read that when the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Joseph's response was again to accept and to act on the angel's message. Sometime later, he had a third visit. Let me show you that one. Turn to Matthew chapter 2, begin verse 19. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Once again, Joseph accepted what the angel said and acted on it as he returned to Nazareth. Zechariah refused to believe and doubted. Mary was unsure, but she surrendered herself to God. Joseph accepted and then acted. The final angelic encounter is that of the shepherds and the angels that Meredith and Cliff read about from earlier. The shepherds were quietly going through the evening chores. And Luke 2, verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Into the darkness of a quiet night in the country came the brightness of the glory of the Lord. I'm sure the shepherds were rubbing their eyes and shaking in their sandals. In fact, the word terrified means more than just a little bit afraid. We'll look at the shepherds in more detail in a couple of weeks. The angels had to reassure them too. So he said, do not be afraid. They needed to hear the message the angel was bringing. He said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And while the shepherds are trying to comprehend what this heavenly messenger was telling them, they were shocked again when suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. Unexpectedly and without warning, God's army appeared. After all they had seen and heard, the shepherds knew that they had to respond. So they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There was no delay. They believed the angels. They went immediately to Bethlehem. They believed and went. But there's more. After they saw the baby, Luke says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The shepherd's response is really threefold. They believed and went, and then they told others about the angel's message. They believed and went and told others. There's a variety of responses to the message that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Today, some are like Zechariah. They doubt, they refuse to believe, and sadly, some don't go any further. Others have doubted, but after studying the Bible with an open mind, they no longer doubt, but they believe. Some have written books about their studies. Men like C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell. If you doubt, if you refuse to believe, I would challenge you to take time to read the Bible. Study God's word yourself. Don't rely on hearsay from others. Some of those that are very outspoken have never read it themselves. Some are like Mary. Oh, they're a little bit unsure, but ready to surrender. Mary wasn't sure about everything. The kids that were up here can't understand everything that we've been talking about. They're kind of like Mary. They're unsure, but they can still surrender. They can still give their lives to Jesus Christ. In Luke 2, verse 11, the angel said, a Savior has been born to you. Christmas, Christianity, is for every individual person. It must become personal. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You don't have to understand everything beyond that. But as you study, as you walk in Christ, you will grow. So I guess the question is, have you opened your heart to Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and your Savior? In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If you haven't done so, invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You have to open the door. He's not going to beat it down. Some are like Joseph, ready to accept and then to act. Joseph is a good example of believers who put feet to their faith. They walk the talk, if you please. So I guess the question to ask is, what is God asking you to do right now? No matter how difficult it may seem, if God is calling you to do it, that's what you need to do. You need to accept and act on his word. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And finally, the shepherds. An example of those who believe and then tell others the good news. Honestly, the response of the shepherds should be the response of everyone who has believed. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, not just to 12, to all of his disciples, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The shepherds told everyone they saw about the baby, about the angels that they had seen that night. They were God's messengers. Now, it's our turn. We are God's messengers of the manger story, of the baby Jesus, of the cross that's behind me. Who can you point to the Savior this season? Who has God laid on your heart to share the gospel message with? Let's pray. Father, you could use angels. You could use visions to come to different people and persuade them to lead them to know who you are. But you don't. You use human beings. You use shepherds. You used Joseph. And now you use us to share your love, to share your story, to share your gospel with others. Lord, help us to be listening to you. Help us, Lord, to be ready to share the hope that we have with those around us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.